141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Scott Arfield says winning a trophy would have just been a bonus this season. Ryan Christie undergoes surgery for facial injuries he picked up on Sunday, and Kilmarnock cut Rangers' allocation for the final game of the season. I'm Gordon Duncan. Joining me tonight is Gordon DL and Roger Hannah.
Well, we know which two teams are going to contest the Scottish Cup final now on May the 25th. So all we've really got to sort out is who wins the title, who goes down, who comes up, who goes down from the championship. And it wouldn't be Scottish football if, and among all of that, we didn't have a silly row about ticketing.
Yeah, looking forward to this weekend. It all kicks off at Tynecastle, early kick-off, Hearts v Rangers. And then if Rangers don't pick anything up and Celtic go to Easter Road, how ironic that Neil Lennon could win the league at Easter Road against Hibs.
And that's us officially on the final straight. The post-split fixtures, five to go, and like you say, we'll find out who goes down automatically, who takes the playoff place. We assume Celtic will win the title, but it's going to be about when they do it. There's Europe, all these questions still to be answered.
Yeah, and the European thing is a story within a story as well, because normally third and fourth will get the European places, but third and fourth will finish the league season without knowing if fourth's going to be good enough, because it will all depend on whether or not Hearts can defeat Celtic in the Scottish Cup final and grab a passport to Europe themselves. It's a funny end to the season, because you can argue Celtic are almost there. You can argue in the Championship Ross County are almost there. There's really more intrigue and excitement at the bottom of the top two divisions. You look at Dundee, St Mirren, Hamilton are still in there despite some good results under Brian Wright. And the bottom of the Championship, I mean, per many, two from five, you like. One for automatic relegation, one for that drop zone playoff. Morton play tonight against Inverness Carly Thistle. They have an opportunity to go back into sixth. Alloa have won four in a row. And what that means is the team that Alloa play next, poor old Partick Thistle, who I saw at the weekend, are rock bottom of the Championship.
0141 951 1025. That is the number you need to get in touch tonight. So let's hear from you nice and early. We are on Twitter as well, at Clyde SSB. We will kick things off by hearing from Rangers midfielder Scott Arfield. He says winning a trophy probably would have been a bonus for Rangers this season. He says it was always going to be tough with their large turnover of players, and he expects a big improvement next season.
We're so close, maybe on the points, but I think, you know, the European run, we've got players in here. We had a large turnover at the start of the season, even in January, a couple of players coming in. Takes time for it all to cement. To get a trophy this year, it probably would have been a bonus with the amount of players that came in and out. But next season, we're definitely there for this. The enthusiasm's there, and it has to be, because you're representing millions of people around the planet that support this football club. That's why it's so important for this last five games, the two previous and the next five coming, to really go at it, to have a good go and to set us up for next year. So we're in a good position at the minute. It's up to us to make it a great one. People's got to talk about how many points Celtic's won the league this year, but I think it's very evident in the last two games, particularly the one at Parkhead, where the mentality was there. There was a mistake for us from a personal point of view, and that mistake doesn't happen. We dominated that game for large periods, and the game at Ibrox, we were dominated it for the full 90 minutes. Really shows that we're on course for something here. The fact of the matter is, we came away with no trophies this season, which is a disappointment for this club. And when you come through these doors, you need to win trophies, and that's how you're going to be judged. I've got a 4-year contract, three left after this, and people can judge me at the end of that, but I know I'll have some trophies.
It probably would have been a bonus for Rangers to win a trophy, says. You know the way this city works all too well, Roger. Lots of people will agree and say, yeah, that's right, it probably would have been a bonus. And the other half of the people will say, ah, hold on a minute, you can't just say that after you've failed to win a trophy. We all know you were going for one in the first place. What's the truth?
Right, here's the thing. Scott Arfield is a very talented footballer. Scott Arfield scored a terrific hat-trick for Rangers at Fir Park before the split. But I'm afraid I'm going to have to deliver a couple of home truths to Scott Arfield. He said there Rangers are in a good position. No, they're not. 11 points behind Celtic with only 15 to play for. They didn't get past the quarterfinals of the Scottish Cup against Aberdeen. They didn't get past the semi-finals of the League Cup against Aberdeen. So that's not a good position for Rangers. Dave King, the newspapers this morning, saying Rangers are nearly the dominant force in Scotland. No, they're not. And you can't pull the wool over the eyes of the Rangers fans. Dave King And Scott Arfield can talk like this when Rangers are a point behind Celtic or a point ahead of Celtic with five games to go. They can talk like this when they've won a cup or reached a cup final. But they're far better off taking the tack that Steven Gerrard takes, which is, at the minute, it's not good enough. And at the minute, it has to get a whole lot better, because the supporters and the callers to Super Scoreboard, you can't, you know, you can't tell them anything other than what they're seeing with their own eyes.
Now, that was Scott Arfield speaking to Sky Sports this afternoon. Gordon, what did you make of it?
I think there's sometimes, Gordon, you just keep quiet, go on about your business. It's not been the greatest season for Rangers. Yes, this word improvement keeps raising its head every time that Rangers are mentioned. You can't live off the fact that Rangers played very well at Celtic Park second half and played very well at Ibrox. That's two games over a full season. And Roger just pointed out there, couldn't get by quarter final, semi final, 11 points behind. I would rather they get their head down, keep quiet, because you have to go and win trophies if you're at a club like Rangers. You can't just keep coming out with the same nonsense.
Yeah, no, but you say keep quiet. I mean, Dave King has got season tickets to sell. He wants to try and talk Rangers up. Scott Arfield is just doing the same. He's trying to put a pot. That's understandable, is it not, from people within the club?
I think it's all about timing, Gordon. I don't think that if you're, you know, if you're
Scott, what Scott Arfield said there that's but you're controversial.
But you're talking about the fact Dave King came out. Now, we all know the reason why Dave King's come out and said what he said, and good luck to him. He said it because he obviously wants to get season tickets in quickly, get the money in, and for Steven Gerrard, hopefully invest into the squad. I just think sometimes, you know, I don't think it's been a great season for Rangers at all. I really don't. I know that they'll probably end up finishing second in the league, but I was expecting at least a final to go and really compete to get a trophy.
And I think Rangers fans, and listen, they'll call the show tonight and they'll correct me if I'm wrong, I think Rangers fans would buy season tickets anyway. Mm. I think there are aspects of what they've seen this season that has encouraged Rangers fans. Morelos' form, McGregor's form, some of Tavernier's form, Arfield's performances latterly as well. The fact that on an individual game over 90 minutes, they've got far closer to Celtic this season than they did in previous seasons. So I think there were enough signs of encouragement. The Rangers fans would go and buy season tickets without Dave King having to come out with this yesterday.
0141 951 1025. Let's hear your take on it. Scott Arfield says winning a trophy probably would have been a bonus at Rangers fans. Is that the way you've seen it throughout the full season? I'm sure there'll be a few others interested as well. Michael's in Greenock first up. Hi, Michael.
Hello, Gordon. Thanks for having my call, mate. Hello, Gordon and Roger.
Hi, Michael.
Roger, just what you were saying there about Dave King coming out and saying in the papers this morning they're nearly the best team in Scotland. They're not even as good as Aberdeen. That's just my opinion. And Scott Arfield coming on there airing out and saying that they could, because they never win a trophy. He's just come out and say that because they're struggling, because they're in a bad place just now, Rangers. But what do you think, guys? I think they're miles behind Celtic, and they're going to be they're light years behind Celtic, and I think they'll need to get into a dark room and lie down for a wee bit, a couple of years, I think.
I mean, to be fair, if we're going to say that league table doesn't lie with regards to Celtic being at the top, we have to say the league table doesn't lie with regards to Rangers being better than Aberdeen, do we not?
Yeah, but third, and listen, maybe I spoke about signs of encouragement for Rangers fans leading to them buying season tickets. One of the signs of encouragement is they're going to finish second, which they haven't done in recent years. So the gap is closing. I don't think there's any doubt that the gap is closing. The gap on an individual 90-minute basis has closed this season. Rangers have won one of the games, the two games at Celtic Park, that they've only lost by a single goal on each occasion. The game at Ibrox, an ultimate weekend of the season, will be fascinating, as they all are. But where they've slipped up is, you know, the St Johnstones and the Livingstons and the Dundees and things like that. And that's why they're not the team that either Dave King or Scott Arfield would want you to believe they are at the minute.
Rangers fans, what do you make of it? 0141 951 1025. You want to come back in, Michael? Like I say, surely Rangers are considered better than Aberdeen simply because of the league table.
Oh, right, okay. I'll turn around and say, see the game at Ibrox, Rangers pummeled Celtic. They pummeled us 1-0. The game at Parkhead, Celtic won 2-1. Celtic were the best team for the first half, and then Rangers with 10 men, they gave us a think they gave us a wee doing in the second half, no, but it never got them anywhere. Still, they're still behind us, and they're light years behind Celtic, and I don't, that's just my opinion.
But there are arguments on both sides there. We're talking about the league table, and it is over a course of a season. But if you're probably sitting listening to this show, you're an Aberdeen fan, the one thing you'll point to is, well, we've played Rangers twice in the both cups and put them out of the cups. Yeah, I think Rangers.
Yeah, but if you're below a team in the league, you don't really have much to stand on, do you? I think Rangers are a better side
than Aberdeen over a piece of the season in the league campaign. There's still a gap there. Yes, there's encouraging signs for Rangers fans because of you know, the Celtic Park performance, especially second half. I thought Rangers were excellent. At Ibrox that day, I thought Rangers probably played as well as they've played all season and deserved to win that game. But there's still a lot of work to be done, Gordon.
If it's light years, like Michael suggests, would you not have expected the last three head-to-heads to have a bit more of a gap in them?
Yeah, probably. I probably would. I think in each of the games, the first game, Celtic were dominant. They only won the game by a goal to nil, but they were dominant. It turned right on its head in the game between Christmas and New Year at Ibrox. And then the last game at Celtic Park there, there was a spell in the second half, even down to 10 men, where Rangers really did cause Celtic problems. Ryan Kent scored, they had opportunity to take the lead. So that closed it. But Celtic still, they just look a stronger squad. They've gone 11 points clear. They've responded to the setback between Christmas and New Year at Ibrox. And again, every time there's a question asked of them, it's the same in the cups. You know, prior to the semi-final at the weekend, Derek McInnes was making all the right noises about Aberdeen and how confident they were. And yet Celtic just brushed them aside again at Hampden on Sunday. So Celtic, there's still a gap there. But I don't think the gap's as big as it was, certainly not, you know, in the first sort of 18 months of Brendan Rodgers' spell.
Dylan is in Govan. Hi, Dylan.
How are you doing?
Good, thanks, Dylan. What's your point tonight?
I've just been listening to the show this evening, and in the wake of Dave King's comments and Arfield, I didn't really hear what Arfield has said. I think it's irrelevant what Arfield says, really. But the point I want to make is, if Steven Gerrard goes through another full season next season and doesn't win a trophy, again doesn't come close to winning a trophy, does he then deserve to lose his job at Rangers?
Yeah, I think he will. It's just the fact that he's managing a club that expects to win silverware, and it hurts the club when you're sitting there watching your biggest rivals cleaning up trophy after trophy, year in, year out. So yeah, I think Dave King will look at the situation with Steven Gerrard and said, right, okay, we backed you in the summer last year, we gave you 15 players in, which is a big turnaround. We backed you in January when we brought in the two big marquee signings. We're going to back you in the summer. And I think Dave King, as much as he's coming out and saying this in the papers yesterday, I think that Dave King, the Rangers board, will be looking for silverware next year. And if Celtic go and clean up, or it's an Aberdeen Cup victory or whatever it may be, and Rangers don't get that silverware, I don't think the manager will be there.
I don't mind the question, but at the same time, we're 13 months away, Roger. So yeah, it's quite the hypothetical.
Listen, even if Rangers don't win anything next season, there are ways of not winning. If this season finished tomorrow, Celtic win the league by 11 points, that's a bit of a gap. Next season, if it's 1 or 2 points, is that seen
and
as
you
more?
Lose a, and you lose in the cup final, for
yeah,
instance.
You lose
or two cup finals. So
yeah, you're losing a cup final to an Aberdeen or a Hearts or something like that. Maybe that's seen as progress. So maybe he would get another go at it. But the stakes for Steven Gerrard and for Rangers will get higher and higher as the seasons go on, because this season's 8 in a row. Next season, it's 9 in a row. A chance to match history. The following season would be the chance to create history. So, you know, what people want to be around, you know, would Steven Gerrard want to be around for a potential 10 in a row? As you say, we're talking hypotheticals.
Mikey's on Twitter. He says, take the season in two parts. The European run balances out the cup competitions, and the last two Old Firm games shows the gap isn't as big as some people make out. Improvement has been made, but still some to go. Colin's a Rangers fan in Milton. What do you make of it, Colin?
I just think Rangers are getting close. I think the whole of Scottish football is getting close. I think Steve Clarke has done a fantastic job in Kilmarnock. I thought Hibs done well in glimpses with Lennon and with their new manager. Aberdeen's getting stronger, with Celtic scraping through with goals in the last minute, and also, obviously, I'm a wee bit biased, saying that a little help with the referees. But end of the day, I think Scottish football is getting closer to Celtic, and I actually think that you're giving Celtic too much praise.
Let me ask you, Colin, we heard from Scott Arfield. He says winning a trophy probably would have been a bonus for Rangers this season. Is that the way you saw it all along? Was it just a bonus, or was it something that you think Rangers should have achieved this season?
Do you know something? I think we should have actually won the league this season. I think not having an actual left-footed central defender, no using Lee Wallace in that position because he's done that in the past with Hearts, has shot himself in the foot. Letting a lot of Rangers fans wouldn't agree with me on this one, but letting Windass go, that you could have actually played in that kind of middle to front role rather than out in the wing of his pace, because he did great during Murphy's part the last 6 months in that position. He done great, and I think we actually had a lost opportunity there. I think Gerrard's still got to prove. I think he's inexperienced. I think he's done a couple of wrong tactical decisions. I think he'll be better this year, but he has to buy the right players, especially the left centre defender, and maybe a creative, fast, someone with pace, middle to front, and also Morales. I would sell Morales because he's too. I mean, I gave him the benefit of the doubt before the last Celtic game, but the last Celtic game, that was just shocking. So I would sell him to get someone who is more dependable and still score goals. So I really do think it was a missed opportunity for Rangers not to win the league this year.
Colin, it's all about opinions, and you've got yours, and I totally disagree with it. When you look at the two squads at the start of the season, I don't see how you can make an argument saying that over a course of a full season that Rangers squad would come out on top of Celtic. You're saying there about Scottish football is getting closer to Celtic. Once again, they're one game away from winning a treble, and they've not really been terrific this season. They will definitely strengthen in the summer, so will Rangers. And I think Colin's, the one point I do agree with him is the centre-backs have to be sorted out, and Rangers need to add better quality if they're going to try and close this gap next year.
100%, yeah. And the left side of centre-back thing, not only will the players there not good enough, it would sort of worry me going forward that nothing was done about it. Now, just looking at it as an observer, you could tell very early in the season Joe Worrall wasn't good enough for that position and was making mistakes, and persevered with him, and he kept making the mistakes. You know, it's not just the high profile Eamon Brophy when at Rugby Park. I just don't think he's good enough. There was a quote from him at one stage through the season when he was asked about the mistakes. He said, I'm here to make my mistakes, as if Rangers is some sort of learning curve for him to go back to the Giants of Nottingham Forest. I'm afraid if you're playing for Rangers or Celtic as a centre half, no, you don't come here to make mistakes. You come here to perform at the highest level. And, you know, it's not the lad's fault. I just don't think he's good enough. But he's still in the team.
Big thanks to Colin and Milton. Josh is on Twitter along similar lines. Rangers are not light years away. If Rangers win the daft draws, St Johnstone, Killy, Aberdeen, Hibs at home, Dundee away, we'd be going into a title deciding game versus Celtic in the split. Only a bit of consistency away. 01419511025. Let's hear from you, and we'll hear from Callum McGregor after the travel.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Win the compensation you deserve. Talk to Thompson's.com.
It's Roger Hanna and Gordon DL here with me, Gordon Duncan. Two ways for you to get in touch, the first of which is on the phone, so 01419511025, and you can also tweet at Clyde SSB. We kicked off hearing from Scott Arfield talking about Rangers this season. A bit of news coming out of Celtic today. They've confirmed that Ryan Christie undergoes surgery on his facial injuries tomorrow, thanks to the wonders of social media. Roger, we've seen the pictures, they don't look pretty, so we wish him well when that process starts tomorrow.
Yeah, and that's the most important thing, that Ryan gets the surgery that he needs and makes a full and hopefully quick recovery. A very, very nasty blow, a very, very nasty landing as well. And you've seen the pictures, you know, the still footage of the collision, the Instagram picture that Ryan posted last night. It is, as they say in the game, a dull one. And we just, you know, hope that he gets fit and well as soon as possible. And if that coincides with a Scottish Cup final, then it can be a nice end to the season for him.
Yeah, it was. We were watching in here, Gordon, and I think we all turned away when we seen the challenge. And he definitely took a sore one. But that's sometimes in football, that just happens. I've been there with getting one in the face, and with a nose like this, it's not the best.
So you're going to say the nose protected you?
No, they don't. That day,
didn't they protect the other fella?
Yeah, he never played again. But we wish him a real speedy recovery and wish him all the best.
It's funny you say these things happen in football. It does seem to be an awful lot of them. You think of Gary Mackay, Stephen in the League Cup finally. Think of Christopher Angier and the one he got was against Livingston, I think, earlier in the season. I can't quite remember as many bad ones like that in the course of a season. You know, involving just two or three teams.
And even Celtic Aberdeen at Hampden, there's the theme there, because you've got Mackay Stephen, like you mentioned, it's slightly different, but Tierney had to go off, didn't he? The infamous
course,
one,
yeah,
with the teeth and all the rest of it. In terms of a footballing consequence, Celtic are almost over the line in the league. I'm pretty sure they can win the league without Ryan Christie, albeit we do wish him a speedy recovery. Scottish Cup final, does that seem like a realistic target to get back in time for?
Well, it certainly sets him a goal. Once he has surgery later in the week, there is that goal there to be fit and ready for the cup final. If you remember, he scored the only goal in the other cup final this season, so he has become an integral part of that Celtic team this season. I'm pretty sure Neil Lennon was happy he had a player of the quality of Tom Rogic to come into the game. He's still got Olivier and Cham to come into the team, and I think he will see more action after the split, just as Neil rests and rotates the squad ahead of a cup final. But it would be nice to see him back, and I'm quite sure Scotland supporters would like to see him back for a couple of qualifiers beyond the cup final too.
01419511025, that's the number you need. Let's speak to Tony in Larkhall. Hi, Tony.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Not too bad, Tony. What's your point tonight?
So I'm going to agree with Gordon. Like, you know, Celtic haven't really fired on all cylinders, but they've had a right turmoil season. We at the beginning, when they went for certain buys and never got them, that must have upset the camp behind the scenes. And then they actually, they're still well in, you know, they're points and points ahead of most teams without firing all cylinders. Then they go and watch the manager at a crucial period. You know, Celtic are going to get stronger rather than weaker. Look, how are their fans can think that they're going to get close to Celtic? They're kidding themselves on, just in my opinion.
Well, I do agree that, it depends on who you buy. It's okay saying you'll bring bodies in and you'll be stronger. You've got to buy the right players. And whoever is a manager at the end of the season, I think it's got a big job at Celtic, because there'll be a few players going out the exit and there'll be new ones coming in. And you've got to get it right. But they're in a good position that they've got money that they can go out and spend as well. They're one game away from another treble. If you look at their away record this season, and I'm going back to Tynecastle this weekend, and it all started over at Hearts, I think, their first away game. And Celtic were dreadful that day, absolutely dreadful. And they have dropped a lot of points in the road. I've always said that they were a different looking team at Celtic Park, very, very difficult to get anything from them. In fact, Aberdeen go there and get a draw.
Livingston,
yeah, sorry, I should say that, I was there. But I just, I think that both camps will try and strengthen. You've got to get the right players to suit what you're trying to do. It's okay saying, well, we'll get stronger because we're bringing in new faces, but they've got to be the right ones.
Yeah, Tony, I mean, you don't need me to tell you, Tony, that surely nothing is guaranteed. You look at Celtic's personnel at the moment. Benkovic, Bayata, Burke and Weah, gone. What does the future hold for Mikael Lustig? What does the future hold for Scott Sinclair? He's not been picked in the big games. If he goes, it's not going to be easy to replace him. We know that recruitment is tough. Surely you would admit that there's a bit of a risk there.
Aye, but the thing is as well about Scott Sinclair, I would never have fanned him when the guy scored goals for fun for a midfield player. But me as a fan, I wouldn't have him in my team, because he cuts inside all day long and he just narrows the game. Johnny Hayes, they fired in the other day, and he is the natural left-sided player. He'll go and attack players and whip that ball, and he's going to cause danger. So there are many pros and cons, but you're absolutely right. But you're going to go back to your saying that Celtic, they have a better squad.
Tony, sorry, you're basing this on. I thought Johnny Hayes played very, very well at Hampden on Sunday. right? I thought he played all right, to be fair to the boy. I'm not the biggest fan, but if you compare him to Scott Sinclair, who has scored goals
60 of them for Celtic,
60 from the wide areas, Gordon, from a left winger, I think that is a fantastic return. I just don't see what Scott Sinclair can keep doing. I think that Neil Lennon probably, you know, with the teams that he's picking, he's putting Hayes in there before him. I don't think that Neil Lennon fancies him. But I would certainly, if I was at Celtic, I would certainly keep him about. Where do you go and get wide players? I know Forrest on the other side, he's the same. He's putting a great effort in. In fact, he's my player of the year. I would vote for him. And he's had a good return. But when you've got white guys that can score you that amount of goals, Gordon, how do you go and replace them? Because Johnny Hayes never will give you the same return as Scott Sinclair.
Yeah, this notion that Scott Sinclair might not be that big a loss, Roger, I find that hard to understand, because we've seen in the past how difficult recruitment can be. It's not easy to replace 60 goals, over three seasons.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I don't think he has been as influential latterly as he was when, you know, that first breakthrough season when he was Footballer of the Year, Gordon. He'll be one of the highest paid players at the football club, I would think. If you think of the money he came in for in terms of a transfer fee, Celtic would need to pay him commensurate with that. So, you know, were he to depart, that would free up a lot of wages. But, you know, you could almost liken the jobs, the managerial jobs at both Celtic and Rangers, it's like the fella that painted the Fourth Road Bridge. The job's never ever done. And whoever becomes Celtic manager, you know, you think, well, that was a really tough season for Celtic. They lost a manager. They went several months without Lee Griffiths. There was injuries through the season. Scott Brown was out for a while. Kieran Tierney was out for a while. You know, there's been injuries to Edouard. The central defenders have all been injured. And, you know, they've muddled through, and it looks as if there's a fair chance they'll get another treble. And yet, having muddled through, you then reach a summit, as you say, where Benkovic goes, Weah goes, Burke goes, Boyata goes. It looks to me that Lustig might go, Sinclair might go, and that's even before they might have to fend off any interest in the likes of Tierney, McGregor, Edouard, players like that. So whether it's Neil Lennon or whether it's someone else, there's going to be an awful lot of work to do at Celtic Park this summer.
Let's hear from Callum McGregor. He's delighted that James Forrest is getting the credit he deserves. The midfielder opened the scoring on Sunday with that 25-yard strike. McGregor says he's one of the best around.
How many times we say that about James? You know, big goals and spectacular goals as well, and that's another one for him. I can't speak highly enough of him. He's a top talent, and he just keeps showing it. I think over the last two or three seasons especially, he's been absolutely outstanding. That's where, you know, the big players are. They turn up in semi-finals, finals, and, you know, when the pressure's on, they can deliver the big moments. And, you know, James has been doing it for years for Celtic now, and, you know, he's starting to get that credit.
I'm not for a second suggesting that people who vote for Player of the Year are easily swayed, Roger. I would never do that. But sometimes timing is everything, and you just wonder, with the voting forms going out round about now, and if James Forrest was on people's minds anyway, and then he pops up and does that in the semi-final, can things like that sometimes be enough?
100%. I mentioned there, after the call from Tony, that Scott Sinclair, his first season, was Footballer of the Year. I voted that season for Moussa Dembele, because Dembele came into the team, scored goals in all the big games that season, hat-trick against Rangers, Champions League goals, goals in cup finals. And then he got a wee knock about the March time, missed a few games. And Sinclair started scoring a whole lot of goals at that time of the season. And he was the form guy in the last 2 months of the season, and stole in one Player of the Year. And Moussa Dembele was absolutely seething about it, because for the first 6 months of the season, he had been outstanding. So I spoke last week, we were talking about this last week, and I said, I'm probably moving towards voting for Callum McGregor because of what he did over the course of the season, particularly that spell when Scott Brown was out the team. But don't be surprised if James Forrest's Footballer of the Year, because what a run he's been on lately. And if he can score, is it 22 goals now for club and country? It's a magnificent return again for a wide man, Daz.
Let's speak to Dave in Alloa. Hi, Dave.
Hi, guys. How are you doing?
Not too bad, Dave. What's your point tonight?
What I've heard over the last few weeks regarding the beginnings of the next season for the squads, what people have forgot to mention, that Celtic potentially could start with a £9 million budget with the compensation deal reached with Leicester, with Brendan Rodgers. So whoever's the manager of Celtic, before he moves a player on, before he deals in the transfer market, could potentially have a budget in Scottish Premier football of £9 million. That's a phenomenal amount of money to start a new season with, don't you think, Gus?
That's assuming Dave Celtic don't go and spend £9 million on a new manager.
Of course, that's a possibility.
You've, for a start, Dave, you disappointed me. I thought you were going to phone and talk about Jim Goodwin and Alloa there.
I was going to.
But listen, you're right. The money that's coming, Celtic have made money in the last few years from some unexpected routes. You know, the money you talk about there for Brendan Rodgers, they've sold players for good money, and then they've got even more money in because of sell-on clauses. You know, I'm thinking of Virgil van Dijk and things like that. If Moussa Dembele were to move on to a club even bigger than Lyon, there would be a sell-on there as well. I think they did not get a sell-on for Wanyama when he went from Southampton to Tottenham too. So they have made money from different routes, if you like. And that, you know, that's helped Neil Lennon in his first spell. It helped Ronnie Dyla. It helped Brendan Rodgers. And if it's Neil or if it's someone else, you're quite right. There will be money there to spend. We talk about the personnel overhaul again in the summer.
Might they still look to trim that wage bill a bit though?
I would think so. I would think that they would, because they pushed the boat out for Brendan Rodgers. And listen, I don't think there's any complaints there. Brendan Rodgers would argue that he merited it because of the results he got. But as well as the money that was spent, including £9 million, a club record of 9 or 10 on Odds and Edward, there was also lucrative contract extensions for a lot of the current players on quite significant wage rises. So just because you don't see, you know, a £5 million deal here, a £3 million deal there, a £6 million deal there, don't think the club hasn't been spending. The club has been spending.
Kilmarnock have decided to cut Rangers' ticket allocation for the final game of the season. What do you make of it? 0141 951 1025. We'll look at that story next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Compensation. They know the score. Talk to Thompsons.com.
Gordon DL and Roger Hanna are here, so give us a call or send us a tweet. Another story from today. Nothing gets us going in Scotland like a good dispute over a ticket allocation. I've noticed this over the last couple of years. Kilmarnock have cut Rangers' ticket allocation for the Premiership match at the end of the season at Rugby Park. They say it's for a celebration of all things Killy. It's their anniversary year. Cynics might say that it could be Stevie Clark's last game in charge. So the Rangers fans usually get the stands behind the goals, 8,000 tickets. That's going to be halved, so 4,000 tickets, just one of the stands. Kilmarnock explaining why. Rangers, though, sort of hitting back, saying we're disappointed with the decision. It'll force us to consider carefully what application we will seek for future matches at Rugby Park.
Yeah, I can understand both sides of it. As Kilmarnock, you've got to look after your own club. I'm just a bit concerned. I know that it's their anniversary. Is it 150th? They're obviously going for Europe. Stevie Clark doing a terrific job down there. But you want as much fans in the ground as you possibly can, Gordon. I don't think Kilmarnock, with the best will in the world, can fill three stands.
Well, they're obviously confident they can, though, on this occasion, because of everything that's going on.
I don't think they will, no.
I'm with Dan's. I was quite surprised at this. I go back, if you remember, to the last day that Rangers won a league championship, which I think was May 2011. Rangers won down there, and Kilmarnock got criticised from their fans for throwing open so much of the stadium to Rangers. So whether this is now a long-awaited reaction to this, about the first game they've played in the last day of the season at Rugby Park against Rangers since then, is significant for Kilmarnock historically. I just look at the crowds Kilmarnock have got, and by the way, since Steve Clark came into the football club, the crowds have gone up and up and up. And with that, I cannot see Kilmarnock filling three sides of Rugby Park. And then you wonder how Rangers will treat it next season. Will Rangers say, oh well, you only gave us one stand at the last day of last season, we're only going to take one stand, so that'll cut half your money that we give you?
It's tough though, because then that just impacts more Rangers fans who want to go, doesn't it?
But it's just so Scottish football, isn't it?
Yeah, well,
this kind of argument.
Right, tell us what you think then. 0141 951 1025. Kilmarnock director Cathy Jamieson's urging all the supporters to come out and back the club on the final day of the season. She says the decision was made so as many of their own supporters could celebrate the club's successful season.
Kilmarnock have had an absolutely fantastic season, probably the best in many years that I can remember. And we want all our fans to have the opportunity to celebrate that season by coming along and cheering on the team in the last match. And that's why we've decided to give the Killy fans every opportunity by opening up and keeping open the Muffet stand for Killy supporters. Been in discussions with a lot of the supporters groups, the Killy Trust, the Kilmarnock Football Supporters Association, over the season, and they all want to have that stand available to Killy fans who normally sit there to really celebrate what's been a fantastic season. Essentially, the board of directors have listened to the supporters, so what we need is for everyone to turn out and have a fantastic day. We're intending to put on some additional activities behind the Muffet stand to encourage people to bring their kids along, come early, enjoy the atmosphere, and hopefully get a Killy win. But this decision was made by the directors at Kilmarnock Football Club, and obviously our decision was relayed to the Rangers Football Club, as it should have been. But ultimately, this is a decision for us. We've taken the decision because we want our fans to be able to come together and celebrate what has been a brilliant season for Kilmarnock.
Robert's a Rangers fan on the line. Robert, some people care passionately about these ticket disputes, other people not really too fussed. Which camp are you in?
I'm in the camp where good luck to Kilmarnock, and I hope they can fill the stadium. But I would like to see if there's going to be a lot of gaps when Rangers do visit and they've cut our ticket allegation back. Let's see if there is any gaps in the Kilmarnock football ground, and if they do start, they manage to fill it like they say they're going to fill it.
Yeah, I'm interested in that line in the Rangers statement which we read, Robert. So when it comes to next season, what would you prefer Rangers do? Would you prefer Rangers only take one stand as a message to Kilmarnock, and potentially then have Rangers fans miss out on the chance to go, or do they just bite the bullet and take the two stands again if they can?
Well, I would prefer them just to take the one stand, especially if it's going to be shown on television, like most games that the Kilmarnock and Rangers play is shown on television, and the fans will just need to go somewhere and watch the game, or watch it at home, of course. But I would just take the one stand, and that'll hit Kilmarnock's pocket, because that'll cost them an awful lot of money. If you think about it, 4,000 fans down, paying whatever it is Kilmarnock's going to pay for their tickets. How much money is that accumulating to?
Yeah, that strikes me. It is a difficult one, Roger, because at the same time, Robert's happy to watch it on TV, but there are loads of Rangers fans that simply want to go to every away game, regardless of what the circumstances are.
You listen to Cathy Jamieson there, and what she has done is she's just put it out to Kilmarnock fans. We've done it. We've done what you've asked us to do. We haven't given the stand away to Rangers. So it's now up to the Kilmarnock fans to come along on that last day of the season, I think it's May 19, and fill the place. And if they don't fill the place, they will be letting their club down. Because in the long term, I actually do think this decision, and it's completely up to Kilmarnock to take the decision. They've gone and done their due diligence, speaking to all the supporters, trusts and foundations and what have you. But if it goes wrong for Kilmarnock, this will have a long-term financial implication for them.
What is the capacity, Roger?
18,
and you're giving Rangers 4th, right? So you're expecting 14,000. Well, you're hoping it will not be a full, but you're hoping round about 13,000 Kilmarnock fans turn up. I think it's a risky bit of business because I do think Rangers may just next season say, yeah, okay then, we'll take the 4,000, and I think it'll cost Kilmarnock money. But as Roger correctly said, it is up to Kilmarnock. It's their home game.
Yeah, Darren's on Twitter. He says, stupid decision from Kilmarnock, one that will cost them in the long run. If people could be honest here and accept Killy will not fill these three stands, so it's just a daft decision. Given the tight budgets clubs like Killy work with, it's madness. At the same time, Roger, I wonder where you draw the line. If you're running a club, I wonder where you draw the line between pure hard cash finances and also trying to do the right thing by your supporters. So even if you were, is there a scenario where you accept that you might have to lose a little bit of money to keep your core customer base, your own fans on board?
I know exactly the point you're making, Gordon. However, if you're working on the type of budget that Kilmarnock work on, they need all the income streams that they can get. Now, turning down the money from Rangers for one of these stands, that may be the difference between a player for Steve Clarke next season and not getting a player next season. That's assuming, by the way, that Steve Clarke is the Kilmarnock manager next season.
That'd be part of the appeal,
which is a separate story altogether. Well, they will hold Kilmarnock will hold the appeal for going along as A, the anniversary celebrations. B, could Kilmarnock need a result on the last day of the season to seal a return to Europe after 18 years?
Very possibly, yeah.
You know, they've got a big game home to Aberdeen this Saturday.
Yeah, go on, Robert.
Right, my question to you, Jen, I've been listening about the Rangers and the Celtic and about the gap closing, and you can have all sorts of excuses and say, oh, six games they just drew, they should have won. Six games they went down to 10 men. I've got one question for you, gentlemen. Now, if I'd asked you this question last season or the season before, automatically I know what you would have said. Right now, at this moment in time, I would like to ask you for now or next season, if things stay the same, who is the best manager in the SPL?
The best manager just now, I think you've got to look at Steve Clarke for a job.
Thank you very much. That's why I think it'll be a more even playing field next season. I pray to God, and so do a lot of my Rangers fans, mates, want Celtic to give Neil Lennon the job so that we can have Steven Gerrard's Rangers playing Neil Lennon's Celtic. And you'll still have Steve Clarke, and you'll still have Derek McInnes, and you'll still have the Hearts manager as well. And all these gaps will close. And believe me, I think it'll be a lot tighter season next season. And I'm looking for Rangers to go one step further. We've brought in a rookie manager. We've brought in 15 players. The rookie manager's learned from his mistakes. I think he'll improve next season. Celtic haven't improved next season, because when they lost Brendan Rodgers, that closed the gap. That was a game changer right there. Neil Lennon will never be as good a manager as Brendan Rodgers, and that's why it's a more even playing field.
Right, thank you, Robert and Stirling. Going to squeeze in Rob in Kilmarnock very quickly. Hi, Rob.
Hi, Gordon. Hi, gents. How you doing?
Hi, Robert. Now, you're a Kilmarnock native, so I don't know if you've got split loyalties here. What do you make of this ticket fiasco?
No, I'm a Rangers man through and through.
Right, okay.
I've got a theory on it. Last time Kilmarnock, I believe, filled out their stadium was the playoff against Falkirk in 2016.
That's right, I remember that.
Now, what's going to happen, in my opinion, is the only two winners that will come out of this will be Rangers and Celtic, because they can afford to fill their stadiums out week in and week out. And what will happen is, the more other clubs are trying to punish the Old Firm for the fans, and I think the theory behind it would be that the fans that are coming are crowd disturbances. You know, staying in Kilmarnock myself, we get the rumours, you know, we don't want Rangers and Celtic fans down there. They're only punishing themselves. Kilmarnock will never, in the month of Sundays, fill that stadium out against Rangers in the last game of the season. It is a virtual impossibility, because half the folk on Kilmarnock are all Firm fans. So they've got a very small-minded fan base there. And what will happen next season is Dave King, he'll cut the allocation at Kilmarnock to 300 or 400 fans. They'll cut the allocation the following season. Before you know it, Scottish football will be dominated by Rangers and Celtic with their own fans and their own stadium, with very, very little, if any, other fans travelling to Tynecastle, Aberdeen. It was just going to have a knock-on effect financially for Scottish football. Just go back to where it was. I'm a season ticket holder in the Broomland. I would actually give up my ticket to get the Celtic fans back in, to bring that atmosphere back into Ibrox. I know it's controversial. I'll happily go to the club deck and sit there. But I was at the last Old Firm match with 1-1-0. You could not hear the Celtic fans at all. Now, some folks say that'll be good for the roar, it'll be good to get the Rangers winning. We don't need that allocation to be cut. We're making enough money as it is at the moment. Let's get back, take all the nonsense out of Scottish football, and let's just get back to basics.
Well, I haven't spoken to a football person, Rob, who wouldn't agree with what you were saying about getting Celtic fans back into the Brimlin Road stand for the games at Ibrox, increasing the Rangers allocation for Celtic Park again to boost the atmosphere. And now, you know, there's a likelihood, I would say, that Rangers for the foreseeable future will only have one stand at Kilmarnock. I think there's tickets cut as well for a game at Easter Road earlier in the season. I would hate to think we're going down that line you're talking about, where away allocations are going to get slashed and slashed and further slashed, because it takes away from the whole spectacle. It takes away from the atmosphere. It just takes away from Scottish football.
Beat the Pundit.
With goals in the Scottish Sun. The SPFL and EPL latest every Monday, Wednesday and Saturday.
Beat the Pundit time. Gordon DL or Roger minus one. Hannah up against you for the chance to walk away with a signed ball. If you fancy it tonight, 01419511025. Be quick, because you only have until the news at 7 o'clock.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. A team that gets results every week. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Gordon DL and Roger Hannah are here with me, Gordon Duncan. In the first hour of tonight's show, we heard from Scott Arfield, we heard from Callum McGregor, we talked about Rangers' allocation at Kilmarnock. So if you've got thoughts on them, keep them coming. In the second hour though, bit of inspiration from the weekend, Gordon DL. On the back of Tiger Woods' master triumph, I'm looking for your all-time football comebacks, because I know when we have these topics, the listeners remember everything and it just takes off. So I'm going to leave it up to you. You can talk about within a match, you know, a comeback, 3-0 down and we won 4-3. But I'm thinking about personnel like Tiger Woods. Who did you think was done and then came back to achieve something significant? You tell us your greatest footballing comeback. So 0141 951 1025 after this.
The Pundit.
With goals in the Scottish Sun, the SPFL and EPL latest every Monday, Wednesday and Saturday.
It is Beat the Pundit time. Either Roger minus one or Gordon DL are up against John from Dumbarton. How are you tonight, John?
I'm all right. How are you?
Good, thanks. I think you might get Gordon DL on a good opportunity, John, because we've got the Clyde One Super Scoreboard pub quiz on Friday night and he's absolutely terrified. He's panicking. He thinks that him, Mark Wilson, Hugh Keevans, they're destined to finish last unless Roger comes and helps them.
Oh, we need Roger. There's no point turning up.
He's not worried about losing the quiz. He's worried it's in a bar and he might have to buy a drink.
Oh, no, there's no danger of that, let's be honest. Right, John, I'm going to toss the coin anyway. Head, you are up against Roger minus one, and Tails, you're up against Gordon. And it is Tails. Gordon DL, good practice for you ahead of the pub quiz on Friday night. So let me give you some Clyde 2 and make sure you can't hear us. And we'll get John's questions up and running. John, you've got 30 seconds. You're going head to head with Gordon. You can pass. Here is your chance to beat the pundit. John, are you ready?
Yeah, brother, thanks.
Let's do it. Which former Celtic player has been awarded Athletic Bilbao's One Club Man Award?
Ken Larson.
John McGlynn is the current manager of which Scottish League 1 team?
Raith Rovers.
Which Scottish League 2 team suffered a points deduction this season?
Clyde.
How many European Golden Shoe Awards does Ali McCoist have?
One.
Who did Rangers face in the 2008 UEFA Cup semi-final?
Fiorentina.
What Scottish team did Kevin Thompson play with between 2014 and 2016?
Dundee.
Okay, good effort on some of them. Let's bring Gordon back. Gordon, are you with us?
Yeah, go for
great.
It.
Great, same set of questions to you. You ready?
Yeah.
Which former Celtic player has been awarded Athletic Bilbao's Billy One McNeil. Club Man Award? John McGlynn is the current manager Ray of Thrillers. Which Scottish League 1 team? Which Scottish League 2 team suffered a points deduction this season?
Clyde.
How many European Golden Shoe Awards does Ali McCoist have?
One.
Who did Rangers face in the 2008 UEFA Cup semi-final?
Pass.
Which Scottish team did Kevin Thompson play with between 2014 and 2016?
Hibs.
And which lager sponsored the Scottish League Cup between 84 and 92?
Tennant. No, it wasn't.
John, he doesn't sound too happy with himself. Do you think
he's been studying, but hasn't he?
Well, I think John's got a wee chance here.
I blew it with the Billy. I should have known Billy McNeil.
Let's go through them and find out. You panicked because it was the first question. Which former Celtic player has been awarded Athletic Bilbao's One Club Man Award? It is Billy McNeil. But I think, John, you're right. He did panic, so you got it right. John didn't. 1-0 to you. But then I think John regained his composure. John McGlynn is the manager of Raith Rovers. You both got it. So it's 2-1 to Gordon DL. And then goes 3-2 because you both knew that Clyde had a points deduction. Ali McCoist, Roger Hanna?
2.
It's 2. Oh. Golden boot, golden shoe.
Don't,
call it what
never
you want.
Got that, did he?
He didn't. So you're still 3-2 up. Who did Rangers face in the 2008 UEFA Cup semi-finals? It was Fiorentina. John got it. You didn't.
Oh no.
So he pulls level. What Scottish team did Kevin Thompson play with between 2014 and 2016? It was Dundee. John got it. You didn't. So John goes in front. Oh, which means it all comes down to the last question, because John didn't get that far. So it's an easy chance for you to equalise. Which lager sponsored the Scottish League Cup between 84 and 92?
Skull.
It was Skull. So John has done you. It is 4 for John and 3 for Gordon. What a nightmare you're having. Ahead of the pub quiz as well.
MD going to that pub quiz, so be seriously confident.
John, you've got to remember though, Daz, if you're going to lose a quiz,
lose it early. Well yeah. done, John.
I'll peak for Friday.
Well done, John. The ball is on its way, John. Well done to you.
Gina.
Producer Rage, you look at his face, see the amount of signed balls we're giving away these days, honestly.
That's my first one in months.
In about 3 weeks, probably.
No, months. Producer, they'll tell you.
There we are. Well done to John. Your chance to beat the pundit, same time tomorrow night. Skull. I thought you would have got that.
I still wouldn't get it if you asked me again.
Who sponsored it after that?
Tennant's.
Who sponsored League Cup after that? Was it Coca-Cola?
Coca-Cola.
Yeah, you think you would know that, no? Given your...
Ah, but you were... I'm just talking about the other drinks.
Well, I've no idea what you're on about.
The tennis, no.
The Scottish Cup.
Scottish Cup, was it? Yeah.
Who sponsored it before school?
Carlsberg.
Is there no Bell's Whiskey? Is there not the Bell's League Cup?
I've no idea, Roger. You're meant to know these things. Come on. Right, 01419511025. On Twitter, we're at Clyde SSB. As usual, we often like to set up a topic and keep us ticking along nicely. Here's one for you tonight. After Tiger Woods at the Masters, I'm looking for your footballing comebacks. All this stuff about, is it the greatest sporting comeback of all time? I'm not interested in that. I want your footballing comebacks. If we're talking personnel, Roger, have you any to get us off and running?
Well, I remember a few years ago going to Lennox Town in high summer, the day Celtic signed Craig Gordon. And for many months prior to that, I think the belief was that Craig Gordon had played his last game of football. He was, had suffered bad injuries. I think, he's spoken about it before. He'd even consulted insurers to see whether it was worth sort of cashing everything in and just taking a payment and retiring from football. So on a personal level, not only to come back and play football, but to play at the levels that he's played, to win trebles, to win more caps for Scotland, that is one of the great personal comebacks of in recent times, I would say, Gordon.
Any that spring to mind, Gordon? Are you still reeling from your beat the pundit defeat?
I'm still in shock, Gordon. And I'm a bit concerned now. Friday's just round the corner.
I like these, so get them in on the phone and on Twitter. I'll give you a couple to get us off and running. Hugh is on. He says, for comebacks, how about the Denmark team coming off their summer holidays to win the European Championships they didn't qualify for? 92, wasn't it?
Yeah, Euro 92 in Sweden. And
weren't meant to be in it and ended up winning the thing.
In more modern times, Steven Gerrard and Liverpool in that year Champions League final against Milan and Istanbul, 3-0 down.
Oh,
half time,
right,
to come back for a 3-3 and win it in penalties.
Go on.
I was about to read this tweet out. I'm just really unsure about the Twitter name, I must admit. Oh, I'm just too late. I've committed now, haven't I? Gordon DL's balls have mushroom on them is the name of the Twitter account. I think we need to move swiftly beyond that.
He's signing those balls just now. They're not mushrooms.
Let's move on. In terms of footballers that make a comeback, the one that stands out for me is Jonas Gutierrez, diagnosed with cancer, made a comeback in Newcastle in 2014.
Yep.
It's a great shout as well. Stuart says Stan Petrov, definitely one of the best. Such a shame not to be offered a full-time contract after his ordeal. So there we go. Forget your Tiger Woods, your greatest sporting comebacks. I'm looking for your footballing comebacks, and particularly Scottish ones. They are the best for us, obviously. Right, let's speak to Keith, who's an Aberdeen fan from Kirkintilloch. Hi, Keith.
Yeah, trying to hide this one after Sunday. Sorry, guys. Dreadfully disappointing performance by Aberdeen, with the exception of maybe Joe Lewis got past marks. Really thought we might have done something. I think we seriously underestimated how much we missed Graham Shinney's diving force in the midfield. And the fact that we just never got going, never created anything. I have a kind of wider concern with going forward into next season. I would like to put to Roger, we've already lost Kenny McLean at the beginning of the season. Graham Shinney is definitely going. Scott McKenna will be away at the highest bidder, no doubt, at the end of the season. We've got the new stadium coming on, going to cost a lot of money. Where are Aberdeen going? How can they actually get a squad of players together that are going to compete? It's really, unless some major happens, we're on a bit of a downward spiral for next season. That's the way things are shaping up at the moment.
Listen, I can understand, Keith, the sort of downbeat nature of your call after the performance at the weekend. If I can try and offer you any crumbs of comfort, that was an Aberdeen team without Shea Logan, Gary Mackay, Stephen, now McGinn, as well as Graham Shinney that you spoke about. It was an Aberdeen team that lost Dom Ball very early in the game. So there were contributory factors to it all. But going forward, as you're saying, they're not going to have Graham Shinney at all next season. Other loan players will go back. As far as I know, Greg Stewart hasn't committed beyond the summer. The likes of Max Lowe will be away. You've said yourself, if there's an acceptable bid for Scott McKenna, he will be away too. So there are good young players there. Dean Campbell, Lewis Ferguson, albeit it was a ridiculous challenge to get sent off for. Conor McLennan, there are young guys coming through. I think we'll see more of Michael Devlin next season. Sam Cosgrove has scored 20 goals this season. But I still think Derek McInnes, I think there's a lot of work for him to do there. And there are no guarantees, as we said at the top of the show, there are no guarantees of European football next season for Aberdeen either.
Having said all that, Keith, if you're talking about Scott McKenna potentially leaving, Aberdeen are after the sort of fee for Scott McKenna that would possibly allow you to rebuild your full team. And again, maybe this is been ultra optimistic, but if Ryan Fraser gets that big move that he's been touted for as well, there's a hefty sell-on fee. So maybe it's not all bad, Keith.
And there are people there, Keith, as well. People like Dave Cormack as well as Stuart Mill. There's been other investment that's come in from the United States. Once the club moves in to the new stadium, there's a training ground there as well. It will be a more attractive place to come and play, maybe for players from further afield than Derek's been signing them of late. So, you know,
you know, for it to be a real attraction, the money needs to be right, and the salaries are never going to be at that level. We've got the undercurrent of, you know, the 10 in a row potential. Celtic are going to invest to achieve that. Rangers are going to invest wherever getting the money from, who knows, but it's going to happen to try and thwart that. And then, you know, there's always been theories and wild stories about potentially money sitting that could come into Aberdeen, but you know, it's going to take more than that. And it's
is it not a case, going back to the good old days under Ferguson, when he brought in his own young players and believed in them, played them, stuck a couple of experienced guys round about them, and Aberdeen they were fantastic in the years, absolutely fantastic.
Given one of the, you know, and I keep having to mention the challenge on Sunday, which was ridiculous, but take the challenge aside, Lewis Ferguson's done well for them this season. Michael Devlin was doing well until his injury. They're guys that Derek has plucked from Hamilton Accies, because Aberdeen are a bigger club than Hamilton Accies. Is it ridiculous to think that if Scott McKenna sold for a big sum, Aberdeen could go and sign the likes of, and I'm sorry for this, boys, David Turnbull and or Jake Hastie?
How dare you?
Could they go and sign the best players that St Johnstone have got? Could they go and sign Jason Kerr? Could they go and, you know, pick players from St Mirren like Ethan Erhahon, people like that, and build a team with the best young players from almost from other Premiership teams, because they're bigger than those other Premiership teams?
Well, I think what Keith's overall kind of concern is that, you know, is this now where Celtic and Rangers start to pull away? Because a lot of the debate in this show is always about how far Rangers are behind Celtic, and, you know, progress, and is there going to be a title challenge? But what about if you take those two together? Because this will be the first time Rangers have finished second, and if that's the case, are we now on the verge of going back to the way it was in the late 90s and for the 2000s? Is the race run for the Aberdeens and the Kilmarnocks?
I think so, Gordon, in a way that, yes, Rangers and Celtic and Rangers will be able to go and get the better players on the better salaries, pay transfer fees for them. I don't think, obviously, Keith, being an Aberdeen supporter, he looks at, you know, financing the stadium as well, new stadium maybe up there. And Roger's right, it does attract better players because you want to play a lovely stadium, training ground and everything involved. But I just feel that as much as you say about Rangers and Celtic can go and spend the money, it's how you spend that money. Now, you look at Rangers, for instance, in the summer, they had to have a big turnaround in players. They brought in 15 in the summer. How many out of the 15 would you say, you know, ticked every box? So as much as you've got the finances there to go and get players and get them on good wages,
name a club that gets every single
signing.
No,
right? I'm not saying the Rangers should get 15, but what I'm saying is they could go out there and look at those four quality players that I think most people round about Ibrox is talking about, and it doesn't work for them. Okay, and it's the same with Celtic.
I'm still asking for your footballing comebacks. This is inspired by Tiger Woods. So ideally I'm looking for players that you thought were done and dusted, but all of a sudden they came back. But of course you get comebacks within matches as well. David says Challenge Cup semi-final, Alloa 0 Rangers 2, 73 minutes. Alloa 3, Rangers 2, 90 minutes. He says, unbelievable, and I say that as a Rangers fan. But Colin's on more on the personnel one. Ruud van Nistelrooy, about to sign for Man United, failed a medical, cruciate ligament, had an op, went through rehab, signed for them the next season, and the rest is history. The Craig Gordon one is one of the most relevant, you would imagine, Gordon, for us in recent years. I mean, as Roger says, the guy, he was retired, I mean, it was 2 years, and the horror injuries. He goes on to win everything that he's won with Celtic, regain his Scotland number one spot. That would be a decent shout, wouldn't it?
Yeah, incredible. Absolutely incredible. You're right, Gordon. I think everybody had basically said, right, enough was enough for Craig Gordon. His career was going to be cut short. But it just shows you, if you're determined and you've got the right people round about you, keeping you going and keeping your spirits up, it's incredible what you can achieve. And he certainly went on and had a terrific career.
I offended Gordon Dale the other day, Roger, and I can tell that he took it to heart. Because when we're talking about Tiger Woods, I think it was at the Friday or Saturday when he was rocking a nice sort of lilac turtleneck golf shirt, and Gordon said he was going to get one, and I told him in no uncertain terms that he just couldn't pull that off. And I just thought it was sort of a joke, but I could tell the look in his face, it hurt him, it cut him deep.
It did. It certainly did. That's the only time since I've known you that you did really hurt.
And did you buy it? And did you wear it?
I've not worn it yet, you know, but it's in the locker.
Well, no matter the
time. It's going to Spain. It's got a Spain trip.
Anyway, the comebacks are still coming in Twitter. JP and a few others are along similar lines, talking about Morten Wiekhorst and Alan Stubbs for their illnesses, the way they came back from those. What else have we got? Remember, we're on at Clyde SSB. Ari Close says the greatest footballing comeback has to be Mean Machine. Get it watched. Not really what I was. Not what I was after, but there we go. Right, you can keep them coming at Clyde SSB or on the phones. Let's speak to Kenny in Motherwell. Hi, Kenny.
Hi, right, guys. How you doing?
Good, Kenny. Thanks.
Talking about sporting comebacks, it's not about an individual player, but a team. The Hibs Motherwell 6-6 game with Lucas Jukic scoring almost the last kick of the ball. But what a finish, and what a way to finish a game that Motherwell should have well been out of it long before. They managed to pull it back and they just kept motoring and motoring and motoring. I came back from a shift and started watching the game just after 8 o'clock. And that way that you're watching the game and you're thinking to yourself, this is we're on to a real hiding here. But, you know, I didn't turn it off, and I'm glad I didn't, because it's one of the best football comebacks I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, I mean, Roger, I think the detail perhaps gets a bit forgotten about that, because everyone sees the scoreline and thinks, oh, well, it speaks for itself. 12 goals, I think it was 6-2, 25 minutes to go, and Motherwell then miss a penalty, I think, is it 6-5, I think. And then the comeback is complete with the 6-all, as Kenny says. You know, it could be a long old time before we beat that.
Yeah, and it, as he says as well, it wasn't just a tap in at the back post from Lukas Jukić. It was the manner on which he scored the sixth goal equaliser for Motherwell. Just the spectacular nature of the goal, which, you know, highlighted an astonishing comeback as well. And, you know, it was just one of the great games. Was it a Monday night football game? Is that a Monday night in the telly?
I thought Thursday.
Was it Friday?
We'll get there then. Kenny, can you shed any light?
It was definitely a midweek game, that's for certain.
Yeah, it was. There we go. We'll find out if it was Monday, Thursday, or Friday. Someone will tweet us.
I was there.
Yeah.
John Hughes was the Hibs manager.
Did Dodson Edward take a free kick?
All right. Okay. You never got to let me live that down, did you?
Yeah, that's a good shout from Kenny. I like that. So that's a comeback within a game, but we're also looking for your footballing comebacks for people. People like Craig Gordon. We've had a few mentioned on Twitter as well, but I'm sure you can dig deep into your memory bank and bring a couple. Paul Scholes, he's been in the news a lot recently, but we'll move over that. He retired, didn't he, from Man United? And there's not a great story. I think he went when he came back to play in one of the huge games. You know, the footballers, they get their boots given to them, don't they? Nike or Adidas provide them with the top of the range 250 quid boots, but it was such short notice. Paul Scholes went down to his local sports shop and got the old, you know, the £40 pair of sort of imitation version of the top model, and went and played with them on.
Different class. That's that sports shop next to the bookies.
No, listen. Going to move on before you get me in trouble. 01419511025. Keep your footballing comebacks coming in. Anything else that's on your mind? We'll have a full time teaser coming up, and we'll hear from Craig Levine as well.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Compensation. They know the score. Talk to Thompson's.com.
It's time for Gordon DL and Roger Hanna to tackle tonight's full-time teaser. That's when you send the questions in to us and we give the pundits between now and just before 8 o'clock to see if they can come up with the answers. Some are better than others, as you may have noticed if you've listened before. So on a Tuesday night, they tend to be quite tough. So Dylan sent tonight's question in. Big thanks to Dylan. He sent it to fulltime@clyde1.com. So keep the questions coming in if you've got any. We're looking for 9 men who have more than 350 English Premier League appearances, but they've never won the league, the FA Cup, or the League Cup. Can you name them? 9 men have more than 360 appearances. Did I say 50? Sorry.
Oh, that
that changes everything. Because I tried to cut the list down a little bit for you. Dylan gave me more than this. So we're looking for 9 men who have more than 360 English Premier League appearances, have never won the league, FA Cup or League Cup. 360 appearances.
I'm just going for one right out of the Noble at West Ham.
No.
Just thinking of some of these big goalies. Brad Friedel.
Nope.
Mark Svensson.
Nope.
Is there a goalie in there?
No, actually, there isn't.
There you go. They're still going goalies. 360 and they've not won anything. My. Delilah.
No, that's not one either, I'm afraid.
That's a very, very good question.
9 men, more than 360 English Premier League appearances, never won the league, FA Cup or League Cup. If you want to play along as well, at Clyde SSB, it was grim last night. We actually, I think we needed a caller to help out Alex and Hugh last night. Anyway, right, I'll give you some thinking time. We're also asking for your greatest footballing comebacks. This is after Tiger Woods. We always like to make things. What's the local angle for us? Give us your footballing comebacks. Andrew is in Cumbernauld. What have you got for us, Andrew?
Hi there, guys. My greatest comeback has got to be Ian Durant after the horrific tackle by Neil Simpson when he was told he would never play football again.
Roger, you'll remember that one well.
Yeah, just the sheer length of time he was out of the game with, you know, there must have been question marks as to whether he would ever get back. He got back to very, very good level at Rangers, and sometimes people forget he kicked on and had a terrific spell at Kilmarnock. Absolutely outstanding spell. He was nominated for Player of the Year in the like at Kilmarnock, so it's a very good shout.
Gordon Deal?
Yeah, I was very fortunate that Ibrox, your auntie was just a young kid come through, and you could see he was going to go to the top. Gordon, he was
just very, very quickly, because don't say I didn't get this in early. Dylan has tweeted in, so fair play to him. He says, I forgot to put on the teaser, it is outfield players only, so that'll be why.
Oh,
you're
that's why I can't get them right.
Fair play to Dylan, he was quick. He what was quick about, off the mark.
What about
sorry,
Leon Osborne?
Listen, we'll do them in a second. Sorry, because I cut Gordon off on his Ian Durant.
Yeah, and you could see as a young player coming through, he was going to be something special, Gordon. And unfortunately, that injury at Pittodrie, everybody thought, well, that's put an end to his fantastic career. But great character, come back and went on to have had a good career. But he was a terrific talent, you've got to say.
He one of your all-time favourites, Andrew?
It is. It certainly was. I remember growing up and watching him, and I thought he was absolutely fantastic, and I thought he could have been a far, far better player. Don't get me wrong, I think he was a fantastic player when he came back, but I think he could have been on to greater things if it hadn't been for that tackle.
You agree with that, Roger?
Absolutely, yeah. You listen to some of the people at the time who spoke about, you know, the quality he had when he first came into the team and the potential he had and how good he could have been. So it's just one of those, you know, tragic tales of football. We'll never really know just exactly how good he could have been had it not been for that injury.
Good shout. Thank you, Andrew. Rangers fan from Cumbernauld, 141 951 1025. If you want to join us, George says Larson's leg break against Leon, he came back and was even better than before. David was also on Twitter saying Ian Durant, more for Alan Stubbs, beat cancer twice and won a Scottish Cup as a manager, says JP. I like this from Ian. Clyde this season, 3-0 down to Berwick, 3-all, 3-1 down to Peterhead, 3-all, 1-0 down to Edinburgh on Saturday, 1-2-1, 4 points behind Peterhead, 3 to be played, the best comeback is yet to come, he says. Ian's tipping Clyde to win League 2. Have you got any on the teaser then? So we've got 9 outfield players have more than 360 English Premier League appearances, but they've never won anything, the league, the FA Cup or the League Cup.
Leon Osman.
Surely.
352 appearances.
Oh, no chance.
So no.
Has Defoe won anything?
He's not on the list.
Leighton Baines.
Yes.
Oh, right.
412 appearances, but not a major domestic trophy to his name.
What about Kevin Phillips?
No.
What about Joey Barton?
No.
Matt Letizia?
No. All right, we'll leave that there, give you some more thinking time. We're going to speak to Brian very soon. Let's hear from Craig Levein, shall we? We've been hearing from him today, of course, a big game coming up at the weekend. He believes that Hearts have shot themselves in the foot against Rangers this season. He hopes they can use the Scottish Cup semi-final success to help them at Tynecastle. and he also feels the Ibrox side have some improving to do before they catch up with Celtic.
They did a professional job at the weekend. It also means our season lasts 1 week longer, but I think we're all happy about that. And you know, there's a lot of good things going on at the club just now, and behind the scenes it's ticking over very nicely. But I said at the weekend that every now and then I think you need to have moments like this cup final to prove to people that things are progressing. Well, our games against Rangers have been a bit frustrating this year, to be honest, because we've shot ourselves in the foot in nearly all of them by giving away early goals. We're at Tynecastle, which always makes me feel good. You know, I'm confident the players will have got a big boost out the game against Inverness, and you know, we're doing our best to take the game to Rangers and try and win. For ourselves, we've had a bit of a frustrating season. We're in sixth place just now. I'd like us to climb one or two places at least, if that's possible. And that will require a fair amount of focus and effort from myself and the players. Yeah, I think Rangers have done reasonably well this season, and we'll see what happens next season. I think they've got some improvement to do. Celtic have already set the bar fairly high for everybody.
Craig Levein speaking to Sky Sports today. That's quite the fixture to get us back up and running in the top flight, the post-split fixtures, isn't it?
Yeah, I'll be there covering it for Super Scoreboard. Looking forward to early kick-off. Gets the weekend off to a great start, Gordon. I'm sure we'll have plenty of talking points. And the boys always say Tynecastle, no matter how good or bad Hearts are, it's always a real good place to go and play football. Terrific atmosphere. And Rangers will go there confidently, I think, to get the 3 points. And I fancy them, because I think Hearts will now start looking at the Scottish Cup final to see if they can get some silverware.
Will they, Roger? Or is it about trying to really build yourself up into a momentum, a level of performance to give you the best chance of winning the Scottish Cup final?
Well, it's going to be a difficult balancing act for Craig Levein, because despite the win against Calais-Thistle at the weekend, Craig Levein still does have his detractors among the Hearts support. And, you know, Hearts support won't like it at all if Rangers come and beat them at the weekend. They certainly won't like it at all if they get beaten again by Hibernian when they go to Easter Road. They've got a couple of big games against Aberdeen and Killie, and then they've got Celtic in the league before they've got Celtic in the cup final. So, you know, they'll want a positive result so they're not going to Hampden on a downer. They brush aside Calais-Thistle. They actually did better at the weekend than I expected. I thought Calais-Thistle would give them more of a contest than they did. I'm still not convinced by this Hearts team. They've got good individuals within it, talented footballers. I'm just not sure yet they're quite the sum of their parts, if you know what I mean.
I suppose part of that will be about trying to get Stephen Naismith back and back fit before the cup final.
Absolutely crucial to get him back. And I think as well crucial to get, you know, to get games into a lot of the players. Michael Smith's been out for a period of time. He'll need games. But, you know, it'll be interesting to see how Craig swaps, whether he does rotate or whether he tries to bed in a team that he thinks is going to play in the cup final, because the cup final for Hearts is enormous. It's a statement if they can beat Celtic and end a treble. It's a passport into Europe if they can do it as well. It gives them a bit of bragging rights in the capital. And from a personal point of view, a first trophy in Craig Levein's managerial career would be absolutely enormous for him.
And amidst all this talk of our Rangers within tangible reach of becoming the dominant force in Scottish football, that also feeds into the game at the weekend, Gordon, because if you're trying to underline your belief that progress has been made and that you're keeping up with Celtic, you can't afford to lose and hand them the chance to win the title on Sunday.
Exactly. And you've got to go there and be positive and try and win that game. It is going to be a very difficult game, and Roger's right, it will be interesting to see how Levein goes from now to the cup final, whether he, you know, he rotates the squad, rest players, because the cup final's most important game for them. So but Rangers are wanting to keep winning, and after a good performance against Motherwell, you know, they'll be looking to go there with a positive attitude and pick up the 3 points. But it'll be a difficult game.
Keep the same Rangers team.
You've got Defoe and Arfield. Yeah, you've got to. Yeah, 100%.
Sporting, well, footballing comebacks. Let's speak to Brian in Cumbernauld. What have you got for us, Brian?
Am I going for you? A hammer? I mean, did you see you in your tweets? I've been on this phone for 20 minutes and then you go and give my tweet out.
15 anyway, minutes, Brian, but not to split hairs, but 15 minutes you've been on. Let's not exaggerate. Eh?
No, I mean, Henry Larson, I was on the phone for, then he come back after his broken leg, become the king of Scottish football. know what I mean?
Was he better after it, Brian?
Oh, aye, he's the king of Scottish football, mate.
Was he better after it, Roger?
Yeah, I think his goal definitely would tell you that. It was a horrible injury in Lyon that night. I remember it. And when you see something, I mean, we talk about, you see the pictures of Ryan Christie and, you know, these multiple facial fractures he's got, and it's a horrible image. When you saw Henrik's leg that night, it was an absolutely horrible image. And you do feel, when you have a compound fracture like that, you wonder if they'll ever come back. And if they do, will they come back as good as they were? Henry came back even better than he had been before. So, you know, I can see Brian's point. Yep, definitely up there.
Was it one of those moments, Brian, you were fearing the worst when it happened?
Oh, I watched that, by the way. It was unbelievable, man. It was one of the ones that you feel in your belly. You know what I mean? Oh, it was terrible. But no, I didn't think he'd have come back as good as what he did. You know what I mean?
I think that's a fair shout, Gordon, isn't it? If we're talking football and comebacks.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was with Roger there. I remember watching it, and it was horrific.
And you didn't get close enough to tangling with defenders to suffer any injuries like that, did you?
No,
I didn't think so. Just sort of just kept your own space.
I can't even believe you asked that question.
Thank you to Brian and Cumbernauld, and my sincerest apologies for the wait, Brian. I hope we're friends. We're on at Clyde SSB on Twitter. How are you two getting on with the teaser? We're looking for 9. Outfield players have made more than 360 English Premier League appearances, but they've never won the league, the FA Cup or the League Cup. So guys like Leighton Baines, you've only got one.
There's one that comes up every time. He's played hundreds of games, no one anything. Everton centre back. Is it this man?
Oh no, he's not one, sorry.
What about Kevin Nolan?
Yes. 401 appearances.
Brilliant.
No major domestic honours.
The lad that stole that, Ryan Shawcross, he played for years.
Nope.
The other Everton defender, Jaggy Elka.
He's only got 358 English Premier League appearances, so no.
Dear.
I'm struggling here.
Kevin Davis.
Yes.
Yes.
4-4-1. You've got 3 of the 9, that's not bad. Yeah. Alright, let's take a call. Glenn is a Rangers fan from Renfrew. Hi, Glenn.
How do you know I'm a Rangers fan?
It says on the screen here, Glenn bracket Rangers.
Oh, does it?
Yep.
Oh, does it? I ain't even bother. Right, panel.
On you go, Glenn.
Ticket allocation for Kilmarnock, I believe they've cut it. Is that right?
Yes, they have. Yes, they've halved it.
They've halved it. Do you think they'll fall that half the Kilmarnock fans?
Yeah, I think that's the hope. Do you disagree, Glenn?
Well, the point I made to your man on the other, you know, on the other side there before I spoke to you was Glasgow Rangers as a football club have been sponsoring Scottish football for hundreds of years.
What do you mean sponsoring? Yeah.
Sponsoring as in revenue and buying players and putting money into the venues, the cities, the pubs, the clubs, and everything that goes with it.
I mean, yeah.
Do you see where I'm coming from here?
Listen, Glenn, I can see the point you're making. We said earlier on in the show, this is a decision taken by the Kilmarnock board. Now, the Kilmarnock board have done their due diligence, have spoken to the Kilmarnock supporters groups, and in the best of faith have decided to take this course of action. I agree with Daz, and I agree with the points that other callers were making earlier on. I cannot see any way Kilmarnock will fill 3 stands with their own supporters in the last day of the season. In a way, I hope I'm wrong, Glenn. I think it would be good for Scottish football if Kilmarnock could fill the 3 stands, but I remain sceptical about it. And I also worry about this trend of clubs cutting allocations for away fans. Rangers did it, Celtic did it, Hibs have done it, now Kilmarnock are doing it. I just don't think it sends out a good message about Scottish football. But if Kilmarnock pile in 13 or 14,000 of their own fans on May the 19th, I'm willing to say they got it right.
No, I don't think that'll happen. considering what's been going on during the course of the season, and as I said, Rangers as a football club and the fan base has been sponsoring Scottish League, third division, second division, first division, Premier League. We'll be playing it for hundreds of years.
All right, we'll leave it there. Thank you to Glenn, the maybe Rangers fan. Sorry if I gave away some information there in Renfrew. What about the teaser anymore before we move on?
Right, let's go here.
Go on then.
Dion Dublin.
Nope.
What about Rory Delap?
359 appearances. So no.
Seamus Coleman.
No.
Bellamy.
Nope.
Will it Stan Collymore?
No. We'll get the answers next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Get the result you deserve. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard, which means running out of time for Gordon Dale and Roger Hanna to get one of these right on the teaser. If you want to send a question in, we would love to have it. Fulltime@Clyde1.com. So tonight's has been sent in by Dylan, who, by the way, played Beat the Pundit on
Thursday. When I'd...
And you beat him.
Ah, twice.
And he says, this is payback for Beat the Pundit.
Oh, I've just thought he won Gary Speed.
There have been 9 outfield players. You are shameless. Roger Hanna came up with that in the break and Gordon Dale just stole it off him. There have been 9 outfield players who have more than 360 English Premier League appearances, but they've never won the league, FA Cup or League Cup. Yes, Gary Speed is one of them.
Yeah.
You've already got Kevin Davis, Leighton Baines and Kevin Nolan. So you've got 4 of 9.
I'm really, really struggling with that.
A very good question.
Okay, I've got first clue of the evening. The one who is second highest on the list has at one point, and I'm not telling you when, he may still be there, he may not, has at one point played in Scotland. Okay, let's go back on the phones. 0141 951 1025. Chris is in Alloa. What's your point tonight, Chris?
Hello, panel.
Hi, Chris.
It's just a quick question on Alloa. If you think Jim Goodwin, in whatever shape or form, can keep Alloa in the league, then they'll be able to keep the squad and him at the club.
Oh, now there is the question. Roger, you go first.
That is a good question.
If Jim Goodwin keeps Alloa up, in fact, even if Jim Goodwin doesn't keep Alloa up, how tough is it going to be to keep him?
Well, the squad is a very small squad. It was so small that Jim himself was on the bench for a game, I think, up at Inverness, you know, just last month. A few of the players are on loan. Young Jack Aitchison from Celtic started there at the weekend. Jack Hamilton from Livingston scored the previous week. So Alloa don't actually have that big a squad to hold on to. You look at the likes of Andy Graham at the back. Is there another season in him? We would need to wait and see. The big issue is Jim, the manager. Now, you have seen the way Mike Mulroney appoints his managers and the way he's happy to let them move on to bigger things. Paul Hartley went on and won a league with Dundee. Jack Ross went on and won a league with St Mirren. And Jim Goodwin looks as if he could be the next guy to make a move. But for Jim to make a move, there needs to be a move for him to make. The St Mirren job was one that's come up a couple of times since he's been doing well at Alloa, and he hasn't got it. Other jobs have come up and he hasn't got them. He looks like the coming man, if you like. If there's a job early next season, maybe a bigger championship side, a low ranking Premier League side, I would think Jim Goodwin would have as good a chance as anyone of getting it.
I think Alloa know that, you know, if a job comes up, especially in Scotland, I think his name will be up there. There's no doubt about that. The chairman has come out today and praised him about the job he's doing and how committed he is to Alloa. He was a very good professional, Jim. Okay, there's a few times that overstepped the mark, but he's a winner, and clubs like that. He's a young manager. He's went into a lower division and learned his trade and learned it the very hard way, a part-time club with full-time clubs in the league. So I've got to say I've admired the job he's doing just now.
Chris, we had Jim actually live on just after the game on Saturday, and he was quite open, saying that the chairman knows all about his ambitions. He's never made any secret of the fact that he wants to try and progress. What are your thoughts on it? Do you fear the worst, or do you think there is a chance you could keep him?
Well, it's just as you said there, that it just depends on what jobs are there. I would love him to stay for at least another season, try and see if we can establish ourselves like Dumbarton did. But it's just it's a thing with only being on like a 1-year contract that you can go whenever a job comes up.
Yeah, because the danger of it is if you're assessing the challenge, and I hope Chris isn't upset by this, I don't mean to disrespect Alloa, if you're Jim Goodwin and you keep them up once, you must be thinking, can I do that again? You know, because every level you always hear about that phrase, managers, have they taken a club as far as they can go? You just wonder if that would come into Jim Goodwin's thinking.
Well, it's all about time, and you just need to look at, you know, Jack Ross going from Alloa to St Mirren, wins the championship, down to Sunderland. As a manager and as a player sometimes, Gordon, you just get your feeling, a gut feeling of thinking, right, I've achieved so much this season, I've got to try and cash in. And I think Jim, if jobs do come up, I think he'll be a name that people will be talking about.
But if you want to be optimistic about Alloa, there's a scenario that Partick Thistle and Falkirk could go down, and Arbroath and Forfar could come up, yeah. And suddenly Alloa, yeah, are no longer the only part time team in the championship next season, and he's got, you know, a fighting chance of staying up again. So you just never know what the circumstances are going to be like. What we do know is he's done a wonderful job.
Yeah, Chris,
four consecutive victories.
I was going to say, it's a great run, Chris. Are you out the woods yet? Are you still a bit nervy about going down?
I think maybe if we can get something out of the Partick Thistle game, I think we'll have a much better chance staying up.
Yeah, and also I suppose we've got a game on tonight as well, so you turn your attentions to that, Morton Inverness. If Inverness win it, it piles more pressure on Morton. It gives the Alloas of the world a boost.
Yeah, it's a big game for Morton. It's down at Capello, I think, Gordon Marine.
Yeah, it is, yep.
Still 0-0. But it's just wondering how the reaction from Inverness, especially after the semi-final defeat. They've got to keep their heads up because they're looking for promotion as well in the playoffs. But Morton's results lately have been really, really poor, so they need a victory in front of their home fans.
Jim Cunningham's not happy on the teaser. He says a bit pedantic with Gary Speed. He won the league with Leeds in 91. I'm sure he did, but the question was, nine men that have made more than 360 English Premier League appearances but have never won the English Premier League, FA Cup or League Cup. So there we go. Although maybe I did, maybe I did just say league the first time.
If,
so we'll
if we are being
we'll
pedantic,
off,
it was
Jim.
92
91, 92, there we go. So anyway, he's one of the answers. Let's worry about
it. Listen, with five answers still to get, so I think we might need a bit of help, Gordon.
What about the one that's got the link up here?
To Celtic.
Now, if you've played that many games, 455, if you've played that many games in the English Premier League and you've played up here, probably...
It's not David Weir, is it?
No, but you're on the right track in terms of golden oldies.
I have no idea. Is he... I take it he's finished. Macaulay.
No, but very close now.
Macaulay's wee brother,
Stephen Davis.
Hearts.
Aaron Hughes.
Oh my
goodness.
455 English Premier League appearances.
That's absolutely incredible, isn't it?
Yeah. All right, the next one then. Irishman, Irish defender. In his 431 appearances, he racked up a fair number of own goals. That doesn't help you at all, does it?
I'm gone. I'm finished.
He played for Man City. He played for a couple.
Oh, Richard Dunn.
Yeah, Richard Dunn. Okay, so you've got three to get. It's the bottom three, if you like. So, I mean, these are hard. One of them played for Chelsea. He played for Fulham. And he maybe just got relegated as a manager.
Scott Parker. Oh, goodness.
See the winger we were talking about for Celtic, and does he have a future at the club?
Scott Sinclair.
What about his surname's sake?
Trevor.
Yes, Trevor Sinclair. And the last one is tough. I mean, because I'm now having to scramble,
unlike the first day,
to think who this guy played for. I think Wimbledon, Charlton, Tottenham. Well, we do the initials, the Hugh Keevan's initials game. C.P.
Parker.
No.
Powell.
No.
Powell.
No. Same surname as the guy, Fred, tennis, polo shirts.
Chris Perry.
Chris Perry, well done. Sort of, well done. Thank you, Roger Hanna and Gordon DL, for joining me, Gordon Duncan. Thank you for all your calls and tweets. They are much appreciated. As always, stay where you are, because Callum Gallagher is up next, and we are back tomorrow with Mark Guidi and Jim Duffy.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Great results for Scottish accident and injury victims for 40 years.